We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we are going to be featuring an interview with Naftali Charter, who has started a new organization called Torah Visuals. And he's taken very difficult concepts in Judaism and animated them. It's really quite fascinating, the whole idea of even wanting to do that. There's a wonderful selection of a cappella music throughout the show. We're still doing those weeks of a cappella. Maybe I'll get around to explaining it this week. We have a wonderful story at the end. The portion of the week is the portion of Achrei Mos Kedoshim, which can be found in chapter 14 and following of the book of Leviticus. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. An Egged bus driver was attacked as he accidentally entered an Arab neighborhood in Jerusalem. The bus was firebombed. No one was hurt, and there were no arrests. Rockets were fired from Gaza into southern Israel at the close of Israeli Independence Day. There were no casualties or damage. This one's actually made news, but there's some other ramifications thereof. An electrical malfunction took down a nuclear reactor one day after the reactor upspun its centrifuges. Iran blamed Israel and in retaliation bombed and lightly damaged an Israeli cargo ship in the Persian Gulf. A fire broke out in the same plant as it was being inspected the next day. One person was hurt. It will take about 9 months before the plant is up and running again. After meeting with Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says he is tremendously pleased with discussions on security issues important to both countries. A religious Jew was murdered during a holdup in Johannesburg. A yeshiva headmaster and two students were robbed at gunpoint in a yeshiva in a Jerusalem neighborhood nearby. Jerusalem police say the two might be connected. In anti-Semitic incidents around the world that were purported to us, hate slogans were drawn on a Chabad house in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. Graffiti calling for death to Israel was found at the Science University in Paris. And a Christian-run liquor store in the Netherlands was fined $2,700 by the Netherlands for not labeling wine produced in Israel's West Bank as occupied West Bank. Israel will begin receiving vaccinated tourists on May 23rd. So if you've got both vaccines or the Johnson & Johnson and your head's clear, you can go to Israel after May 23rd. That's a week after Shavuot. And finally, Israel's population grew to 9.7 million. Close to 7 million of those are Jewish. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Schulfinman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have online Mr. Rabbi. Is it? I just forgot to ask if it was Mr. or Rabbi Naftali Charter. And he's involved with an organization that he started, founded, is producing, is probably the chief cook and bottle washer of Torah Visuals. And you can check out the stuff he's doing at TorahVisuals.com. How are you today, Naftali?
I am good, Baruch Hashem. How's it going?
Good, thank God. I forgot to ask you, is it Rabbi?
It's not a rabbi. I completed the course, but I never went by rabbi.
Okay, that's fair enough. We're just going to call you Naftali then. Okay, thanks. So Torah Visuals. Now, there's this idea. People think in two ways. They either think in language or they think pictorially. For the most part, for the last 3,300 years, Judaism has been conveyed verbally. Teacher to student, who became this teacher, who became the student. So now comes the 21st century, and we have all kinds of wonderful devices that were not available or readily at hand 3,300 years ago. And so now we're starting to see the introduction of the pictorial explanation. I've noticed that there are many graphic novel versions of things that are coming out. So what do you, Naftali, what do you attribute this now to this move to introducing the picture into explaining Torah concepts?
I mean, we live in the digital age. There's, you know, stats that come out that men between the ages of like 75 and 15 will get 80% of their media from YouTube and just natural average screen times that society shares today. People wouldn't imagine just how much time society spends between looking at either a phone or a TV screen or a laptop. It's really incredible. And on the internet as well. And so we could see that all of a sudden society is spending a huge amount of time in cyberspace and a much smaller ratio of their time and their, you know, putting their attention on is down here in this world. So we've seen this, you know, amazing change into the digital age. And for us on Torah Visuals, we wanted to realize that, you know, this is where the world is spending their time. And so the content of has got to reach the digital age. It's got to reach people, you know, where they're spending their time, which is primarily, you know, scrolling down on their phone on some platform or the other. And so the content, it has to reach these platforms because, you know, that's where society exists these days.
Okay, that's great. I'm glad you explained it that way. Okay, so now let's hear about Naftali Charter just a little bit. What put you in the position where you feel that this is what you need to be doing now?
Well, like a couple of other projects, it just started off as something that I wanted for myself. You know, you looked on YouTube, and if you're trying to find, you know, Torah content on, you know, online, you will find a lot of, you know, videos of, you know, different rabbis, you know, giving classes. And that might work if you're familiar with the rabbi at hand, then okay, you can watch a YouTube video of them giving over a class. But if you don't know that rabbi, you're not going to listen to, you know, what some guy is going to be saying, because especially in regards to spiritual matters, which are very personal, people, you know, have a very, you know, specific way that they can relate to God. They're not going to listen. And so you looked on the internet and there was literally almost no content out there. Excuse me. There was, you know, there was some stuff, but really nothing where someone can just, you know, get the information in a modern infographic animation style that really uses the visuals to portray the concepts. And so it just started off as something that I always wanted for myself. And then, you know, I was introduced to an animator that I thought that could, together we can pull it off. And, you know, we've been trucking it ever since. We start off as from two people to three people. We're now at 11 between all the different responsibilities. And it's just been, you know, a mission like that where we all of us had a real deep love for the concepts and we all just wanted to see the content ourselves. So we created it and there we're able to share it as well.
Okay. So there, you've got some interesting stories. Just when I heard about you and your life and I guess maybe previous incarnations, or carnations, as the case may be, but a carnation is a flower. You fought pirates in Somalia and broke people out of jail in India?
It's actually, yeah, true story. So I was in the Israeli army, and about like 15 hours after I got out of the army, I was recruited by a private security company that primarily needed soldiers without Israeli passports, with American passport. So I was an American as well. And we would take oil tankers just across the ocean and dealt with any piracy security. It was cool because we got to go to a lot of countries in that area of the Persian Gulf we wouldn't usually otherwise be able to set foot in. And it was interesting, though, because I literally, you know, went straight from the army. Not 3 days later, I was on a ship, you know, out of the port of Sudan. So that was a really cool experience. After that, I did that for 2 years after the army. After that, I did a couple semesters in college, just to kind of even up on the education. And then I lived in actually Saudi Arabia for 4 months. I was doing private security for a family there. And at that point, there was a Chabad house in India that reopened. And I was contacted to help them. This was the Chabad house that had the attack in 2008, the famous story there. So they reopened this in 2014. I was contacted to go set up the security company there. And for to set up the security system. And once that was done, I was stayed around in India. And then I came across a story where someone had to be broken out of jail. But I don't know how deep we can go into that now.
That's you can make a movie about that. In fact, there was made one in 1978 called Midnight Express, and it was a very scary movie. Yeah, well, not for now.
I've heard of that movie. I've been hesitating to watch it because maybe it just did a better job than me. But yeah, I'll get around to watching it sometime. I've been saving it.
Yeah, for Nittle. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Okay, so now let's talk about Torah visual. Let's get some who, what, where, when's, why's, and how's. So how did you had an idea. I need to put this really deep Hasidic concept, which when I introduce these concepts, I say what you're about to embark on are the most difficult concepts in Judaism. So you decided, you know what? We need to explain this in such a way that people can relate to it as they did when they were kids in cartoons. So what did you do then?
Well, the plan was to really make the ideas, you know, to come across with a way of portraying, you know, the ideas of God, which it's funny, it might not only be the most complicated ideas in Judaism. Excuse me, some might say they're the most complicated ideas in the world, you know, the existence of omnipresent, creating everything at the same time that is above time and space. You know, it's actually, it's honestly impossible to understand. We say that our minds can never fully grasp God. So like I say, we have this running joke that we explain things that you can never understand, which is almost a full-hearted mission. But there's incredible worth in uniting with God and even attempting, you know, and trying to wrap your brain. That is, you know, one of the strongest ways to connect and to build a relationship with God, because it's not something so far. And even if you don't completely understand it, it becomes a more realistic existence in your life. And so we started off with the Tanya, and we realized, we zeroed in on this being on the second book of the Tanya, Shayichud Bamuna, being a very solid angle, like going about in like kind of a step-by-step process of understanding God. And when we wanted to make, you know, originally content, we didn't originally veer towards this chapter, but we realized when talking about Judaism or Torah or anything, before you could talk about anything these days, first you gotta talk about God. You gotta realize that there's more to this world than what we see and what we feel. And we understand that it's all God. Once we can build that relationship, really all the learning, you know, comes after that. Before you could learn the what and the how, you know, it's good to learn the why. You know, we learn all these different things about Torah, like the laws. We have to do this at this time, and that's what. But, you know, not always maybe is there enough time focused on the why do we do all these things. And once we start really understanding God and studying God, you can truly grasp Him. It builds a relationship that, you know, covers all the rest of our lives.
Okay, so now, so you and another person, a graphic artist, decided we're going to do this. How's your background in understanding these deep Hasidic concepts in
ophthalmology? Not that much. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm no expert, and I wouldn't even put myself at a mediocre level. But I was familiar with, you know, the generalized ideas of the content. I was familiar with the source minimally, and I was waiting to do this actually for like 3 or 4 years. The idea was brewing in my head before it started. I knew I wanted to put a channel out there of content, and I knew I wanted to, you know, put out, you know, spiritual content. And you see, there's an internet that's filled with all these things. And we understand that if God created it, it's for using of good. Everything that God creates can either be used, you know, for bad or for good. And, you know, the internet as well. It used to be like the power of the internet, the ability for us to create one video and it could be seen by potentially billions of people, as opposed to having to make like a hard copy and selling it. It's so accessible to share information these days at an incredible pace that you could, you know, share something literally with the entire world, then it has to be used for Torah study and the study of God. And I'll be honest, I didn't know animation right away. I was at that wall. I wanted to put it out. A couple of times I put a computer up, you know, to start speaking into it, and I'm looking at the screen and I'm thinking, okay, no one wants to hear what I have to say. I don't even want to hear what I have to say. And just, you know, speaking to some friends, came the idea of animation. And what we really loved about animation, just from asking around and doing some market research, was that animation had this kind of disarming effect on people, where if they were to see like a rabbi or a person talking, then maybe with like a beard, and then they would get very somewhat defensive, like, what does this guy know that I don't know? And it just sometimes, especially because we're talking about things of God and, you know, things that people can be very passionate about, it's like, what does this guy know more than me? And right away, a lot of times people's defenses would shoot up and, you know, their ears would close off. And we realized with animation that we kind of, you know, snuck around people's defenses. They didn't look at it like, oh, what does this rabbi know that I don't know? What's he going to tell me? Mm-hmm. But the animation let it just bring out on the content itself, and it wasn't branded in any sort of way by a face.
It sounds kind of like the Bugs Bunny effect, maybe.
Interesting. I didn't know there was a name, but that's a great one.
I just coined it myself, actually. But it kind of is like, it's, yes, what's, I recognize a cartoon as being something that I watched as a kid, and I did them to relax and enjoy. And then, therefore, whatever I see in cartoon contact, my brain is already flipping back to my childhood and, you should pardon the expression, Saturday morning cartoons.
Right. And the defenses go away, and people are very receptive. So when I finally came across the angle of animation, you know, I once went to visit a friend and he was working with an animator, Shmuley Bell. I gave him a call. At first I wasn't familiar at all with animation. So I had these very high aspirations. We're going to release every single day a 2-minute clip. And right away I learned that animation is not something that simple. It takes hours and hours and hours of work. But we were like, all right, whatever it takes. And so at that point, we had a couple people join the team. We had Alter join on the script writing and narration. And slowly we took on a second animator and a third animator and even a fourth, each person having their specialty that they really maximized in, which is either lighting or After Effects or 3D. And we started to churn out the episodes. And, you know, we actually, you know, when we first started, we started on a different beginning of Tanya, on a different portion. And we realized that it was already talking about like much more personal things of what a person should do and shouldn't do. And we realized that, no, this wasn't the way to go. At that point, we pivoted. And we went to the second chapter where it was really just talking about God and the creation of God and the unity and how we're all part of God and nothing really exists beside him. You, me, all of us, everything constantly be creating. And then we realized this was the way to go. And then pedal to the metal, full steam ahead.
Okay, our guest today is Naftali Charter from Torah Visuals, and you can check out the website at www.torahvisuals.com. In Judaism, it seems like the pattern is whenever there's something new or innovative, somebody stands up and says, no, we can't do that. That's not the way it's done. We've been doing it this way for thousands of years, and no. So did you get opposition, and how did you deal with opposition, Naftali?
We definitely got a little. Be honest, we really thought that we were under the mindset, you know, if no one's against you, then you're not, you know, doing something meaningful enough. But it was always just minimal. Some of the things that you know, in regards to, you know, painting a picture of God, there was a lot of complaints. And I guess they had a point, but we definitely spoke with the appropriate rabbis. But in general, the reaction's been very strong. It's in our second project that we've been facing a little bit more pushback, but we understand it to be a good thing. Because all of our content is, or at least 80% of what you're watching on a 2D screen is actually 3D items that we're taking a 2D picture, 2D viewing of, we've been working for some now on converting all of our content to 360 virtual reality content that could be accessed and utilized on some of the new technology that's out today. I don't know if people are familiar, but there's a lot of really impressive in the virtual reality world that's been coming out. So we've been making this pivot because a lot of our content was already compatible to start really entering that industry and entering that arena based along the same, you know, science and mindset, which is if there's a new thing that's out there, if God's created this brand, you know, amazing new technology, it has been created for good. And there's really powerful technology that, you know, you put on these goggles, especially the ones that are out now, and it really takes you somewhere else. Your senses are fooled. What you see, what you hear is all changed. And within a couple of minutes, your brain forgets where you are and truly believes in the scenario that's in front of you right now. It's really, you know, powerful technology that's out today. So we're really trying to jump into that head first.
Interesting. So how then, Naftali, do you fit an infinite God into only three dimensions?
You don't. Like you said, God, it's infinite. It's an infinite. But the grasping and every step that you can come closer and understanding, you know, is a more, you know, amazing level that you can reach in your personal relationship. And this type of 3D content, it definitely helps you visualize and conceptualize things that never before. Primarily, it kind of clicks in this idea that if right now, if I put the goggles on someone and everything they see and hear and potentially even touch is fake, it's there because our program has put it there, then all of a sudden you can understand in this world that I'm looking around, I'm seeing all these things, but doesn't exactly exist the way I think it is. Now, there's a God constantly creating, that's putting everything there. And there's a lot of like small similarities in this idea of like a virtual reality world to in how God created the world. It's almost like, you know, a godlike, you know, angle of being able to put someone in a completely false reality that you've created. And something that's very powerful can be used for very negative things, but most primarily it's meant to be used for positive things, and specifically about learning about God, and specifically about visualizing and conceptualizing the unity of God, the oneness of everything around you. I think that there's some amazing tools in that industry that can really empower someone. So in that type of work, we have faced some opposition, but we've always taken it as extremely validating. You know, because if you want to do something really big and meaningful, chances are there's going to be some opposition, just the way it's always been. So okay. We wouldn't be shocked. So thank God we've gotten a lot of love.
Cool. You've put out a series of videos already, and you've up to, I think, six of them already. For just Shar Yechid V'Emunah, just this one section of Tanya, how many do you think you will have to finish what it is, whatever you want to finish saying about the 12 chapters of that section of the Tanya, Naftali?
So we have on our plate of projects, we have infinite amount of stuff. So we definitely want to finish this first chapter. It's a great foundation. It's a great, like Shar Yechid is, it's a gate. It's really a journey where certain concepts are brought up in the beginning and then throughout the chapters, it really takes you on a stair-like adventure where, you know, in the beginning, you don't really know anything. At the end, you're in a completely new place. That's why it's called the gate. So we really want to get the season of Shar Yechid V'Emunah. We have some incredible plans for Nach and for Nevi'im and Ksuvim as we realize that, you know, it's maybe of all the different subjects in Judaism, at least from what I've seen from our circles, it's maybe some of the weakest, you know, just on our knowledge of Nach. You know, there's some other, sometimes religions that seem to have a formidable reference for it. But when it comes, it seems even myself, like I said, I start making these things because I need to learn it myself. So we're really we have a nice script for Nach and a real nice angle to go through that, also using this infographic animation style, just making these concepts really enjoyable. We're really pushing forth on some virtual reality content that we're hoping to bring. We have a bunch of schools that have already signed up, and I'm really hoping it to bring to many schools across the world. We really, you know, believe in this kind of angle in the education sector, where we've seen like a lot of schools are in somewhat of a, what can be called a war with technology, you know, that educators are fighting to educate their kids, but it's really hard to keep up with modern technology. You know, they can sit in a class, but you know, they can scroll their phones and go through YouTube, and depending on which, you know, where you are, it depends if the kid has a phone and a different age, but it's just getting more popular and more younger that the generation is getting access to technology. And we really believe that if, you know, educators want to compete with the technology companies that are out there in their apps and their education, then they have to jump right forth and they have to jump into the technology world.
Okay.
So, and that's something that we are really going to be pushing for.
Okay. We're running out of time. Just one question. So, okay. So you at some time in the future will finish your, the present series, and it will be discussing these topics that you're in the middle of discussing right now. And someone sits down and watches all of these videos that you prepared. What would you like to see this person walk away with, having viewed all these videos?
Straight off the bat, a stronger relationship with God. A stronger, all of a sudden, this is not some, you know, it becomes just a little more real. It's something that's, it's everything, yet at the same time, can sometimes apparently be nowhere to be found. I can't see it. I don't see signs. Life's hard. And the beautiful thing is that we do get messages from people. You know, it's the most beautiful thing in the world to get a message from someone and say, like, the videos have really, you know, changed the course of my life, and we've gotten them. And that, you know, it makes it all worth it. These videos are also, they're extremely expensive to put out. And we're not following any business model. We're dumping a lot of money into videos and just putting in the world for free because we understand in the realness of it. But when we get the type of message of people really all of a sudden seeing their life differently, you know, we really hope to awaken a thirst of learning so they can take our videos and then go and do their own research. And we definitely have people that reach out and I'll tell them like more books that they can jump into. That's kind of like a gateway into. And we're hoping that can, because there's a lot of information besides for, you know, these 12 videos that we're going to put out. So we really hope to open the thirst of people trying to build a relationship with God and understand Him a little better so they can come a little closer to Him instead of keeping it as an abstract myth. And that is our goal, to really open that relationship up. And we can see this, that once it takes off, it can really jump off from there, where people really start to learn and they can do their own investigations and learn and see what else there is besides for in the videos.
Okay.
So curiosity is the main thing that we would hope people would leave away with.
Okay, that is fantastic. Our guest today has been Naftali Charter. The organization, www.TorahVisuals.com. It's all one word, spelled as it sounds. And thank you so much in enlightening us, and we wish you tremendous success, Naftali.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the time. I really does. It's really any help to get it out there. We measure our success by views, not because it's being monetized, because that's just another person that we were able to, you know, maybe add a little. So I really appreciate it. And I hope anyone that hears this can enjoy the content and have an amazing Shabbos.
Okay, you too. And we hope you'll keep us apprised of the future developments.
Of course. Of course.
Okay, that's going to do it. Take care. And
take care. It was nice to speak to you. Bye-bye.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up for your listening pleasure. This is Simcha Lehner. The song is called Kol HaKavod, which Kol HaKavod literally means all the honor to you, which it's a Hebrew idiom, which really means, you know, that's really special. So I think this is really special. Let's listen.
יש דבר חשוב שצריך לדעת יש הרגש עצום בלב כל ישראל ואף אחד שבעולם לא ייקח את זה ממני אז תשמע אחי תשמע טוב אנחנו עם קדוש מכל העמים האם תרגיש את זה בתוך הנשמה שהקדוש ברוך הוא בחר בנו ורוממתנו אז באת שיר איתי מכל הלב שצריך לדעת יש הרגש עצום בלב כל ישראל ואף אחד שבעולם לא ייקח את זה ממני אז תשמע אחי תשמע טוב אנחנו עם קדוש מכל העמים האם תרגיש את זה בתוך הנשמה שהקדוש ברוך הוא בחר בנו ורומתנו אז באת שיר איתי מכל הלב
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is Ari Goldwalk, who's become somewhat of a... If you go on talking about going on to YouTube and the web and whatnot, he's become ubiquitous. This is called Yom Zumanucha, which is referring to the Shabbos, that the Shabbos is referred to as a day of rest. And that's what the song means, Shabbos, the Sabbath. This is a day of rest.
Ra-ku, mi-ya-ir, et-ha-choshech, sheba, ra-ku. נופל אתה מקים אותי כלי שלי ליבי הולם חזק בקרבי או כלי עבדך אני הכניסת איתך הכנפיך
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have time for one more song. This is Micha Gamerman. We played some stuff of his last year when he was a rookie. Now he's like up for sophomore. And this is called Rock Simcha. Only joy.
1, 2, 3, ו... יש שאיפה עמוק בלב, יש מגמה להתקרב, להכיר בורא עולם, מלך חי וקיים. עם הייאוש אותך שובר, כל כך קשה להתגבר, אל תשכח השם איתך והוא תמיד עוזר.
רק שמחה ואהבה, בורא עולם תמיד איתך, והעולם כולו נברא, רק לך, רק בשבילך. רק שמחה ואהבה, בתוך הלב האמונה, שיר ביחד יש תקווה מכל הנשמה.
רק שמחה ואהבה, בורא עולם תמיד איתך, והעולם כולו נברא, רק לך, רק בשבילך.
קצרה צרורה שכוח מהכל מהר להיות רק בשמחה
לא צריך להתבייש רק לחשוב על מה שיש כל הזמן בכל מצב השם אותך יאהב
רק שמחה ואהבה בורא עולם תמיד איתך והעולם כולו נברא רק לך רק בשבילך
רק שמחה ואהבה בתוך הלב האמונה שיר ביחד יש תקווה מכל הנשמה
רק שמחה ואהבה בורא עולם תמיד איתך והעולם כולו נברא רק לך רק בשבילך
רק שמחה ואהבה בתוך הלב האמונה שיר ביחד יש תקווה
Sing along, join us in the simple song.
Happiness is all you need.
So come and join us now. One, two, three, go!
Hey, Atzimcha V'Yahama, Bore Olam Tamid Itcha,
V'Haolam Kulo Nivra, Rak Lecha, Rak Bishvilcha.
Atzimcha V'Yahama, Tocha Lev Ha'Emana,
Nashim Be'Yachad Yesh Tikva,
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Hey, Shlomo Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion is a portion of Achrimos Kedoshim, found in chapter 14 and following of the book of Leviticus. The portion, which is a double portion, is a list of commandments, just one right after the other. Okay, the first part of the first part of the portion, you can see it's kind of story-ish, where it describes what the high priest had to do on Yom Kippur. Okay, a little bit of story-esque if you read it like that, but it's really conveying, like, first the Kohen should do this, and then you should do that, and you can kind of, like, picture it in your mind as how he did it. And there's actually, it is a book that was written, we're talking about pictures, it was written probably about 30 years ago, or drawn 30 years ago, of what the high priest did in the temple on Yom Kippur. And then after that, it's just like, mitzvah, 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 one right after the other, one, two, three. And so the count I don't know on the top of my head is probably over 50. Question, what to do? Never mind that I could speak about each mitzvah for an hour. The question is, what to do with all of these mitzvahs? And it's alluded to in the name. As is true with everything in Judaism, which is named something, there's something there in the name. The portion is Acharemos, after the death, and then it says it starts because after the death of Aaron's two sons, Moses was commanded to Aaron to tell him to do the following things and how to go into the Holy of Holies without dying the way his two sons did. So it's called, the first part is called Acharemos, after death. The second part is Kedoshim, based on the verse that says, Kedoshim ti yuki kadoshan. Hashem was told to Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, you should be holy because I, God, am holy. So now we take the two together.
Okay, there's an idea. There's one of these things. It's one of these Facebook memes that comes up where they tell you to kind of like turn away from your computer, look at the bookshelf, and just write down the books on your shelf, like, you know, 5 or 6 books in order, and you'll see it'll make like a poem out of it. Okay? Unless, of course, you're saying like Encyclopedia Britannica Volume 1, Encyclopedia Britannica Volume 2, not that shelf. And it could be quite interesting if you just try that as a little exercise in like expanding your perception on things. So we say Achrimos Kedoshim. After death comes holiness. The concept of death is manifold in Judaism, but in the Torah it's used as an allegory. The world in its present state is looked upon as being, for the most part, antithetical and oppositional to godliness. There are so many things in the world that are wrong, and there's so many things in the world that could be wrong. What do I mean, could be wrong? Well, a person, for example, you have a piece of kosher meat. So if a person consumes it gluttonously, well, that's wrong. So this piece of meat could be consumed wrong, in which case it just adds to the opposition of godliness and holiness. So what does the name of the portion tell us? Acharimos. Go after the death. Go after those things in opposition to godliness. Become more involved with those things that convey godliness, which is why at the end of the first part of the portion, Achrimos, it deals with the 27 sexual prohibitions. Because controlling our desires, our lusts, our passions, however natural they may feel, if they're not done in a way that you're getting past them as being oppositional to God, but as a way of conveying godliness, then you achieve holiness. And that really is our goal, is that what we do should convey godliness in the world, lessening the opposition to godliness, making the world a more godly place, ushering in the messianic era, we could live happily ever after. And we have to take a quick commercial break because we're running out of time. We've got a really awesome story coming up for you next. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Schilfenman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest way? Go to rabbifinman.com, www.rabbifinman, and you can get in touch with me right there on the homepage. There's also archived editions of the radio show. There's classes that I've taught that have been uploaded to the website, which are really good. Some of these things that we were talking about today with Naftali Charter are there. They are only audio. And I do have some videos, and they're me looking into a camera and talking. They're not cartoons, but it's a different media and uses different parts of your brain, so different messages go different places. There's also the very important donations page. The Jewish Hour, which has been on air for 25 years, only exists because of your participation. You have listened to this show. I don't know how many years you're listening to the show, but you've gotten 50 minutes into this one, and the only reason you haven't turned it off is because you've liked it so far. So there's only a couple more minutes left. So go to your computer while you're still thinking. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably on a device, which you don't have to go anywhere. You could just, as you're listening to this podcast, go to RabbiFinman.com, hit the donations page, and help pay the piper. We've got to do it every month. We got to pay the guy. It's not cheap, as Naftali Charter said. When you start getting into, as soon as you turn a switch on, it costs, and it costs big time. But you've come through in the past, and we're certain you're going to come through in the future. Don't like giving money away on the internet? Worried about credit card fraud or whatever else? Have understood. Send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48222. The story for the week involves the Fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, sort of. There was a chassid, his name was Halperin, and in 1860-something or another, he got on a train preparing himself for a 10-hour ride to go to the town of Lubavitch. Lubavitch didn't even have its own train station, but to the closest train station possible. And he noticed a man sitting opposite him, like a couple of rows ahead, with a huge beard. That's what he said. And as he noticed about a huge beard, they made eye contact. And this man with the beard said, the bearded man said, came over to him and said, "Are you going to Lubavitch?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm also going to Lubavitch. And I'm going to visit the Rebbe Marash, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I'll tell you the story why I'm going. And he's such a holy person. I come from town X, make up a town, somewhere east of Grosse Pointe Farms. And I was a little kid. People called me a genius. I was so bright that when I was 16 years old, I decided to give up Judaism. There was other things. The world was out there. There was the Enlightenment, this new beginning. The clouds were parting. And I picked myself up. I ran away from home. I moved to another city. I took up secular studies, went into medical school, graduated with honor, found a nice non-Jewish girl, set up a practice in Petersburg, and was very happy for 20 years, never even thinking about my Judaism. And with my prominence, I climbed the various ladders of society and was accepted. I changed my name even to a Russian name. No one even thought that I was Jewish, and I stopped thinking about being Jewish until one day I had a dream. My father came to me, and he said, called me by my Hebrew name, and said, "It's time for you to come back." And I woke up from the dream, and I said, "It's only a dream, what?" A week went by, and my father came to me again in a dream. And this time he said, "No, you have to listen. You have to come back to Judaism. You have to do it for yourself, not for us. We've already passed on. You have to come back." Now it was agitating, and people could tell I was a little bit bothered by it. I became withdrawn, and I was worried. But one day we get an invitation for a massive ball that was in Petersburg. Official ball, we were invited, you know, the high society, the whole business. We're very happy. We got new clothes, and my wife and I went to this ball. It was magnificent. And in the middle of the ball, they started playing a polka, and I had already been inebriated a little bit, and I started dancing. And in the middle of the dancing, people were watching me. I was dancing with such light. I saw the image of my father. And I said, "Leave me alone!" And I took out my gun, and I shot at my father. Of course, everybody scattered. People jumped on me. They took away the gun. And I ran out of there, and people thought I was crazy because I was crazy. And I decided, I have to do something about it. I'm going nuts. And I remember about the Rebbe of Lubavitch, that he is able to help people in such situations. So I figured, listen, these guys charge. I grabbed a bag of money. I grabbed some provisions, a couple of changes of clothes. And I traveled, made the trip to Lubavitch. And I finally got an audience with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I placed the money in front of him with the letter in front of him on his desk. He didn't look at me. He went over to the window, and he opened the window, and he yelled out the window, "Who let this man who tried to shoot his dead father into my office?" I fell to my knees, and I started to cry. And I cried until I thought I was going to die. And finally, I composed myself, and I said, "Rebbe, what should I do?" So the Rebbe told me I should give up my previous life. I should move to another town, change my name. And after a period of time, I'll get a sign. And the Rebbe told me a sign. I'm not going to tell it to you, Hussein. And then you'll come back to me. And that will mean that the Almighty has accepted your prayer, your repentance, your coming back. I got the sign, and I'm now back going to see. It's been 10 years. I'm now going back to see him again. That's the story. If Luke, you want to bring the music up behind me, that's good. And we hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
Mashkimim u'marivim Mashkimim u'marivim Bevotei kneisiyos Uvevotei midrashos Ashtein